You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Anthony Kestrovince and Phil Rogers.
This is MLB.com Extras, Pittsburgh Pirates edition. I'm Anthony Kestrovince, joined by Phil Rogers. And Phil, we're looking at a Pirates team that remains in the playoff pursuit for the second time, for the second year in a row. Obviously been not smooth sailing for the Pirates these last few weeks, not just losing Andrew McCutchen, a very high-profile injury, but also having Neil Walker out for the better part of the last few weeks, having Pedro Alvarez out for the last couple of weeks. And now they lose Charlie Morton to a hip injury just as they're getting Gerrit Cole back in the rotation. So it's been a big test for Clint Hurdle and company. How do you see this playing out for the Pirates?
Yeah, Anthony, there's no question. It's been a real test of Clint Hurdle's power of positive thinking. Seems like a year when one thing gets right, something else goes wrong. But maybe a saving grace now. As we talk, Andrew McCutchen back swinging the bat. Looks like he's going to come off the disabled list, possibly spend just about the minimum time on it on this stint. And, they could have him for the last 6 weeks. When they need him. I mean, he's been such a clutch guy. And to me, I almost look at that as much of a positive as losing Charlie Morton, that they could be getting Andrew McCutchen back for the stretch run. Let's bring in Tom Singer, Pirates beat writer. Tom, what's your outlook for Andrew McCutchen as he, barring anything unexpected, looks like he's getting ready to come back off the disabled list.
Yes, he is. He's eligible to come back on the 19th, is eligible. He's doing everything in workouts, live BP, the machine revved up to a high speed, breaking pitches, running the bases, making those left turns, throwing in the outfield. The difficult thing with McCutchen is it's such a rare injury, there's really no case study, and it's a very easy injury to re-aggravate. So when they time his return, they have to be pretty comfortable that he's past that point. And he himself doesn't have the possibility of re-aggravation in the back of his mind. Hurdle loves McCutchen for being a very honest self-evaluator, so he will not come back until they've reached that point, until he feels that he's reached that point. And you're absolutely right. Even though they've kind of treaded water without him, Travis Snyder, big contribution to make up for McCutchen's bat. Getting him back will definitely give not only a performance jolt, but a psychological jolt to this team, and maybe at the right time.
Tom, we mentioned Neil Walker earlier, missing a lot of time lately with the back. What's the full extent of that injury? And I'm sure he's still going to be playing through some things, in the home stretch. How much does that, obviously, I'm sure it impacts him a great deal. What's sort of the outlook for him going forward?
Well, they've already gone through the trials of him re-aggravating his lower back tightness. So before he returned again, they made sure everything was quieted down back there. He himself pronounced himself as good as he's ever felt. The back has totally quieted down. When he came back the second time, he's going to play about three games in a row, then take a day off. But it's really precautionary to make sure that the back does stay silent, because essentially they're plan is to make sure that he can take the field every day in September down the stretch. So they want to get him to the point where any recurrence of these back spasms is not likely. I mean, you can never rule it out, but you can certainly stack the odds against it. So they're being very careful with him because, like I said, they've already gone through the re-aggravation thing with him, which they want to avoid with McCutchen. Totally different injuries, but obviously you bring somebody back too soon from a very nebulous injury, you can re-aggravate it. So, I mean, they kind of, that's what they did with Gerrit Cole as well. When they brought him back the first time, he was on the DL with a tired shoulder. He lasted two starts and came down with a different injury. And this second time, they've really taken their time with Gerrit until, they're absolutely assured that he's ready to step in there and take the ball every 5 days going down the stretch.
Tom, props to you, because you told us a month ago that they wouldn't really look to Gregory Polanco to be the guy to lead them. They felt like they would welcome what they get from him, but they didn't expect for him to come in and be a savior. And you mentioned Travis Snyder, but what about what they've been getting in August from Starling Marte? It seems like he's really picked up his game at the right time and is having maybe as good of a month as he's had. Not necessarily hitting a lot of home runs, but extra base hits, using his all-around tools. How important is he been?
Well, absolutely. You know, Travis has been the extra bat in the lineup, but Marte is the one who's taken over in center field, which is his original position. I think he's gotten himself a spark out of playing his old position. He likes being in the middle of the outfield. He likes the added responsibility, and he's come through. And he's also been batting deeper in the lineup. A couple of days ago, he batted cleanup for the first time and produced. Oddly enough, when McCutchen does come back, I mean, there's no way that can be negative. But in a sense, he'll take the spotlight off Marte, which he has really enjoyed and has, flourished under. But they're absolutely delighted with how he's performed since he came back from about 10 days on the concussion list.
Tom, I know, with everything Pedro Alvarez is going through mentally over third base, there were plans to work him in at first. But, those plans kind of changed with just the alignment of the health situation. Jordy Mercer beat up at short, so that impacted Hurdle's ability to move Alvarez around. But just looking forward here, going forward, is that still an option on the table? Is that something we expect to see with regularity, Alvarez at first base, or do you think he's going to remain a mainstay at third?
Well, no, it's definitely an option. It's such a very odd situation. He was geared up to play first base in the series in Washington. But as you said, Mercer went out, so Harrison had to move over to a shortstop, and Pedro got his old position back. But unfortunately, he also had his old problems come back. He made a wild throw in one game that cost him a very critical run. So I think that, once Mercer comes back, if the opportunity again presents itself, they would like to try Alvarez at first base. I mean, it's not an easy position. I think, like Arizona, where Mark Trumbull had to go over to first base when Paul Goldschmidt went out. And I've heard all kinds of nightmares about how difficult a time he's had handling that position. So when Pedro does go to first, it's not a permanent position switch, but they do want to see what he can do there. And it's a really, really strange dynamic that he had to go back to third base. I mean, they did not plan on that at all.
Tom, last thing for me, obviously, the bullpen has been an area of concern. Saw blown saves in back-to-back games at Washington last weekend, and a little bit of a change in cast out there. But they did make a nice addition in picking up John Axford. And I'm wondering if it could be a case where his role, he grows into a bigger role than maybe people thought, and getting a have a fresh lift when they need one.
I would think it's a definite possibility. Their backup closer, with Jason Grilley gone, obviously, has been Tony Watson. But Tony has had some tough outings in his setup role as well as in the eighth inning. Axford has only pitched twice, has looked well. I believe he pitched the ninth inning or the eighth inning. Anyway, he's been getting some high leverage situations. And he's done well. So I would think he's at least moved into the situation of being the number one backup to Mark Melancon if Melancon has any difficulties. The difficult thing with the Melancon blown save on Sunday, it was the first time he pitched in almost a week. So not only the typical rhythm that pitchers always talk about, but I would think the mental edge that a closer needs, if you don't have the opportunity to do that for a whole week, I would think it has to dull the mental edge, and you just don't feel right. If Melancon gets consistent work, which obviously would mean that offense comes around and they have more late-game leads than they have lately, I still think he'll be okay. But, a couple more stumbles, I do think we can see John Axford in the ninth inning, yes.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. And the Pirates have had a lot of ups and downs here these last few weeks especially, but still so much of the season still right in front of them. Starting Friday, they'll have a stretch of 12 straight games against the Brewers, Cardinals, and Reds. So obviously those are three teams they need to take care of business against. But I want to thank Tom Singer for joining us. On behalf of Phil Rogers, I'm Anthony Cashman. I want to thank you all for tuning in. It's been MLB.com Extras, Pittsburgh Pirates Edition.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.